So we proclaim today that Jesus heals. We proclaim today that Jesus saves. We proclaim today that Jesus rescues us. We proclaim today that Jesus is never separated from us, especially in our worst moments. We have two stories in the gospel to proclaim these truths to us. And if we can hear the word and allow it to impact us, it will give us great hope in our hearts. Take the woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years. This poor lady had suffered greatly under the treatment of many doctors. You can imagine how crude the treatment was in those days to stop the hemorrhage. And they had not been successful. She was desperate. Really desperate, and no doubt her self-image had plummeted something shockingly, because the condition was considered, according to the law of the time, the religious law, to render her ritually impure. So she wasn't able to take part in any of the normal ritual practices. And also, if she came into contact with others, she would incur ritual impurity upon them as well. So here she was, desperate. In a position of being like a social pariah, I guess, feeling not belonging anywhere, unloved, unable to enter into communion with others as she would dearly have wanted to, unable to really come into the presence of God as she understood it. And yet, Jesus is coming along with the crowd all pressing around him. There's a hustle and bustle, and she knows it's Jesus, and she presses in through the crowd. If only I can touch the hem of his cloak. And when she does, she's immediately healed. Immediately. And Jesus stops, and this is what we must notice. He stops, and he says, "Who touched me?" And they laughed at him. "Who touched you? There's hundreds of people here, pushing and shoving and jostling. We're all, the many people have touched you." "No, who touched me?" There was one person in that crowd that touched him with faith. And it says that Jesus felt the power go out of him. The power for healing, the power of salvation, that is intended for all, especially those that are broken, those that are weak, those that are in some way wounded. Especially the power of salvation comes from Jesus. And now she's trembling before him because she has to admit what she's done, you know. Jesus doesn't worry about the ritual impurity stuff. He just simply says, "Go, your faith has saved you." We are here today at this beautiful celebration of Eucharist. The same Christ is here. He comes to us in this Eucharist. He comes and we are gathered with him. And it's a moment when we can reach out and touch him with faith. "If only I can touch the hem of his cloak, I'd be healed." There's a power that flows from this Eucharistic celebration that touches lives and heals and restores and makes new. It's resurrection power. And that's why this story is cased within a story about resurrection. Because it's the resurrection power of Jesus that we celebrate now. He's not walking with us in the same way as he was at Galilee, but he's glorified now. He's risen from the dead. And he's here for each one of us, if we're open to it. At this Eucharist, over the years, it's now a long time this Eucharist is being celebrated. Well, 25 years, something like that. But over the years, I've seen many healings happen to those who will just reach out. Young man, you know, under a strong sexual addiction, comes forward in the midst of the Eucharist and has hands laid upon him and feels a fire within him. And it's like as if barbed wire that was around him, this addiction was just broken, and he's delivered by the power of Jesus. Now, a woman who had been suicidal and really had started to even have an attempt at suicide, but then pulled back from that because she felt that God was not allowing it. And then in the Eucharist, receives the touch of Jesus and the light of Christ, so that, as it says in that psalm, that at night there was tears, but joy came with the dawn. And that's what happened to her. Joy came to her heart again through the touch of Jesus in Eucharist. How beautiful is that? Another woman who could not forgive, who really hated her husband that had deserted her, and could not forgive, and would, you know, had a fist held up inside of her like that against him. And then in the midst of Eucharist, she experiences the touch of the Lord. When we receive Jesus into ourselves in the Holy Communion, it's very real. Now, he is the Lord. He is our healer, our Savior, the one who comes to rescue, to empower, to make new. And that's his desire for each one of us in this beautiful sacrament. And you see, the other story about Jairus' daughter, you know, who he's crying out to the Lord. He gets down on his knees before the Lord and cries out for his daughter, you know, who is dying. And he says, come, you know, and Jesus says, of course I'll come. But on the way, they get the news that she's already dead. And they arrive there, there's a great commotion, and there's all this unrestrained wailing as there is in those sort of Eastern cultures, a lot of sort of outpouring of grief and everything. And it's too late, it seems. And Jesus said, what's all this noise and commotion? You know, she's only asleep. And they laugh at him. He turns them out. He just takes his three favorite apostles with him because he's going to do something very special. And the mother and father. Isn't that beautiful? Takes the mother and father with him. And notice how gentle and exquisite this is. It's exquisitely gentle, but it's very powerful. He takes the hand of the little girl and says, Talitha kum. Little girl, rise up. Get up. That's resurrection. Rise up. Get up. And she does. And presumably he gives it back to the parents with great joy. And they're all full of astonishment at what has happened. This is the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, already sort of present in its beginnings, even as he walked the earth. But now, that he's gone to the cross and taken upon himself all of the sorrows, all of the troubles, all of the sinfulness of our human nature. And it's all been nailed to the cross. And now he's risen, glorified, and present to us with his holy wounds, which bring us healing in this Eucharist. This is Jesus, who we're speaking about. Not some magician. We're speaking about the living God made flesh, the Word incarnate, who became one of us and shared the depth of our sorrows and our struggle and our pain, and knows all the pain that's in the hearts of people here tonight and wants to bring healing to us. Some here may have lost a dear one recently, and the gospel speaks to us about that. You know, the people were weeping unrestrainedly and wailing in grief. But when we experience the loss of one who has been close to us, sure, there's a deep grief. There's a pain that aches deep within when we experience that. But we know, because of the resurrection of Jesus, that our loved one who died in faith will be raised up again. And how wonderful that is. I had that experience just recently. Many of you know Mark O'Day, who died very suddenly of a heart attack after being swimming in the bay in Melbourne. And we were grieving as a brotherhood, of course, because he was a dear brother of ours, dying at a very early age. And we brought the body in on a Sunday night before the funeral the next day, brought the body into our chapel down there in Melbourne, and we were able to sort of have the open casket, and our whole brotherhood was there. As we just allowed our grief to pour out, not in a great commotion and sort of were shrieking and things like that, but just a human grief, which is very real and very necessary to be expressed. We must weep and share in the weep, and know that when we weep, that Jesus weeps with us, as he wept over Lazarus, his friend. And then the moment of truth of seeing the dead body and knowing that, yes, he has died, our brother has gone, he's no longer with us. But then the moment of truth, even more so, of faith, of being able to know by faith the truth of the resurrection, that just as Jesus raised that little girl, Talitha cum, little girl, get up, that he too will raise Mark O'Day. And we trust and pray into glory, in the fullness of glory, to be with him forever. This is our faith. And it makes all the difference in our lives when we can experience the loss of loved ones in that way. When we think of this particular gospel, we also can be aware of the fact that the power of the resurrection of Jesus is especially applied to our lives to free us from sin, to free us from the way in which sin can have a grip on our lives. These days, we don't like to call it sin. We call it addiction. That's okay. If it's an addiction, it'd be a sinful addiction, maybe. And we need to be set free by the power of Jesus. You know, some suffer deeply from the addiction of pornography, and that's an awful addiction, but it's a growing addiction throughout the world. It's a sinful pattern that gets hold of a person, and it's very hard for them to break it. Some, it might be an adulterous relationship that you keep going back to, just can't sort of get out of, you know. Others, it might be an eating disorder. You know, there's all sorts of addictive practices of one kind or another that can have a grip upon our lives. Now, for others, it can just be like a worshipping of a person in such a way that it sort of prevents going to God. A people addiction. Some people have shopping addictions. Get a fix on the shopping. Others have, of course, alcoholic addictions, huh? Drug addictions, all sorts of addictions, huh? That where sin can have a grip upon us. And what drives addiction, of course, is shame. And I think there's a hymn they're going to sing later on. There's a song they're going to sing, and I forget the words exactly, but it's something like this. Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame, right? Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. The shame in the heart is what can actually hold us down. Sometimes it's shame from sin of the past as well. And what we have to proclaim is that Jesus has won the victory. You know, he raised up people from the dead as he walked this earth, and then he himself was raised by the Father gloriously into triumphant victory. And we hold to that truth, that the victory is in Christ. Now, death, where is your sting? Now, where is your victory? It's gone. Because Christ is risen. And his healing power is there for each one of us. So whatever is the habit that's got hold of your heart, whatever's oppressing you and holding you down, now Christ will break it. He's risen. Now he's alive. He's the Lord, and he's in each one of us. We eat of him tonight. We take him into ourselves. And let's allow his resurrection power to be within us and make us alive again, to breathe again, because Christ is risen. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is what we proclaim tonight. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus rescues. Jesus sets free. Jesus gives new life. He is here. And reach out to him like that woman with faith. If only I could touch the hem of his cloak with faith in his power to do what you thought was impossible, to bring about in your life what you most need, where you are most desperate, where you're most crying from the pit within. That's where he wants to meet you and encounter you this night and touch into your life in this Eucharist. Bless his name.